Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, before I went to the top of the hour, I said it's been a while since we've had to talk about kind of what's coming out of Green Bay. You're hearing Ha-Ha Clinton Dix saying he wants to be used more, and Josh Jones, or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix says he doesn't know if he's going to be back. Josh Jones saying he wants to be more playing time. You've got now questions about Aaron Rodgers and why he's not looking at wide open receivers, and is it the knee or not the knee? And if it's not the knee, then what is it? What's the problem there? There seems to be some veiled comments regarding the head coach. I said a couple of years ago that there was a lot of stuff swirling around 1265 that caught the attention of the team, and they never really regained consciousness when it comes back to just playing football on the field. Are we looking at something like that again here?
Yeah, I think the word that you were saying without saying is dysfunction, organizational dysfunction, or at least team dysfunction, you know, on a much like a, on a smaller scale, the roster itself, the locker room, maybe the general vibe for or appreciation for Mike McCarthy and maybe what the players are both thinking. And now, you know, again, because losing can bring out the worst sometimes, you know, winning cures all, and at the same time losing may, you know, exasperate issues. And I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a team that, yeah, they're 2-2-1, which, you know, all things considered isn't that bad. There's not that many teams in the NFC with a winning record. Kind of been a very, you know, interesting year so far across the NFC in that regard, that you really only have maybe two or three really good teams, and the rest seem to be puttering a little bit. But yeah, Bill, the word dysfunction, I think, is the word that's coming up right now. And I think if they had a really strong showing against San Francisco, which they should, I think you could argue the 49ers are the worst team in the league right now, coming off of the loss to Arizona and not having Garoppolo for the rest of the season. You could easily make that argument. They should be able to get fat, get healthy, call it what you want, against a really bad football team on Monday night, and then go into their bye week feeling a little bit better about it. But if that's a close game, or if they lose that game, and then that feeling has to fester over a bye week, you know, it's all these things coming out, Bill, I don't necessarily think it paints a picture of like toxicness, but dysfunction certainly comes to mind. And you know, you can even add one thing you didn't mention is, you know, what Greg Jennings was saying again, you know, with Colin Cowherd. And, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for someone like Greg Jennings, who enjoys being heard, to sound off, because he knows that situation really well. And so it gives him a platform to talk about it. But yeah, this is a bad look. And I think the Packers should be very, very, they should send a thank you basket to the Milwaukee Brewers, because the Brewers being good is at least dampening a little bit of, I think, the attention that this would be getting in the state, because, you know, at least the Brewers are doing so well. Because this Packers stuff is, if the Brewers were out of the playoffs right now, put it this way, this Packers thing would be louder. It would be a much more focused topic, because, yeah, things don't sound or look positive right now for things happening up in Green Bay.
So let me ask you this. James Jones, on the opposite side of the spectrum, says that this team, he believes, can reel off four straight. Do you believe that?
Well, it kind of reminds me of what you told me a week ago when you talked to John Kuhn. And, you know, a Ferrari in the garage just waiting to rev its engine and go, you know, get going 180 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, and take off. And I, you know, it's that thing between do you trust that the talent on paper will eventually start to manifest into actual results? I still think on paper, you know, you want to put this team on, a game of Madden. It's a good team. I really think from a roster perspective, this is a better team than what they've had in maybe the last two or three years. I truly believe that. Yeah, they take a little bit of a hit, obviously, with Mo Wilkerson being out for the year, Devon House being out for the year. And every team is dealing with injuries. Randall Cobb has missed the last two games, but on paper, it's a really good team. So, James Jones, I don't think is being a homer to say that. I think you look at any team that is quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers that has the best or one of the two best offensive left tackles in the league, protecting his blind side, that has, a top 10 wide receiver in Davante Adams, that has a top 10 tight end in Jimmy Graham. It just seems like this team should have already gotten hot, but because it hasn't yet, that it very much could get hot. I think the question that Brian Gutekunst and that Mark Murphy have to be asking themselves, because keep in mind, Mike McCarthy has a year and a half left on his contract, whereas Brian Gutekunst has 4.5 years left. In the past, the coach and the GM always lined up. Their contracts were always the same. They always expired the same year. They were joined at the hip, call it what you want. What Murphy and Gutekunst, I think, have to ask themselves is Mike McCarthy getting enough out of the roster that's put on the field? And if he's not, how come he's not? And what confidence do you have that can be turned around without a major, major shift and shakeup? And I just, if they don't start winning quickly and probably winning decisively, and that, of course, starts with Monday before their bye, these questions are only going to get louder.
What do you see if you had to put your finger on this thing right now, what is it?
I think, Bill, there are, and I'm not smart enough to be able to find these things, but it's like when I see it broken down in a lot of these film study things, whether it's, that early morning ESPN show, whether it's just some of the good stuff you see on Twitter, whether it's the coverage that they do at The Ringer, it makes it clearer and clearer to me that if you compare what the Packers are doing offensively compared to the rest of the league, it's simplistic comparatively to the rest of the league and where things are going and where the best offenses are, what they're doing structurally, schematically. It would seem that the Packers are much more basic, and there's a lot more reliantness, that's not a word, they're much more reliant on the wide receivers to basically get open on their own, on Rodgers to make the right call at the line of scrimmage. It's just more basic, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. You just have to have the right players in the right situation. And again, it's like, when the Packers were 4-6, when was that, Bill? 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-6, and the quote that you and I kept going back to at that time, and of course, we had to, shut up really quickly because the Packers reel off 6 straight in the regular season, and then they go to the NFC Championship game and all of that. But at the time, the thing we kept coming back to is the quote of, 10 years is the shelf life of any coach, no matter how highly successful they might be in one place, because, defenses catch up to you, other offenses pass you by, the message gets stale, call it what you want. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like I would, be sitting outside of, of leading a rallying cry that Mike McCarthy should, not be the coach anymore. I'm not to that point, but I don't think it's an issue of necessarily talent. I'm not saying they're a super stacked, great team, because I think Ted Thompson's last few drafts really put this team in a hole. I don't think there's really anybody that would question that. Yeah, there was a couple hits. Kenny Clark is a great player. That was a really good first-round pick. Blake Martinez in the fourth round, pretty good. Certainly Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the middle of the round. But there are more examples than not of that Ted's recent drafts just weren't that good, and it probably set this team back several years. So there's something to be said there. But I just think that, and this is just one person's subjective opinion, there's more talent there than what is showing up on a given day. And when you get down consistently, Bill, how many times this year already in 5 games have they been down double digits, in the first quarter, in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
They've had to crawl their way back, Chicago and the game this past game, and they won 22-0 against Washington, but that was far from a clean game offensively speaking. So they are teetering very close to to a team that I think is going to start being questioned more than they already are in terms of, are they even a playoff team, much less a Super Bowl contending team? And they have to right the ship quickly for those questions to maybe at least be delayed, if not coming to the forefront.
Talking with Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig, he's joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And so I'll get to this, Paul. I know people are talking about firings and all that kind of stuff, and I still don't think that happens in the season. I think that there's a lot of time to right the ship. Now, here's the question, though. They're also a couple of plays away. They're a kick away in the game against Minnesota. They're, you know, obviously some kicks away against beating Detroit. Is this team closer to being good or to being really bad?
Good. I love the question. I love the thought process because so even when I was talking to you earlier this week, you know, I said, well, what if Mason Crosby doesn't have a career worst day in week five? What if Randall Cobb doesn't have a career worst day in week two and it doesn't miss the last several games because of injury? What if the refs get the call right in Detroit on that punt that they said, you know, hit Kevin King,
right?
Tremont Williams said didn't hit Kevin King, and the refs even admitted as much to him. What if Clay Matthews' sack in week two against Minnesota, as ridiculous as it was, wasn't called, you know, roughing the passer and was instead a sack, a game-ending sack? What all these, you know, all these what ifs? But, you know, I think they're closer to being what they put on. This is probably a weird way to say it, but like what they've put on the field so far has me thinking they're closer to being a bad team than a good team. But I just can't fully get myself to think that an Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, Jimmy Graham offense can be 7-8-1. I mean, there's just how could this? And Rodgers is hobbled. I get that, but he's playing through it. He's not playing well and not necessarily playing very well, but how much of that is injury related or not? I just, if this is a 7-8-1 or an 8-7-1 year, based on the talent that they have, it would be a major, major letdown. But then I watched, you know, I rewatched the game from this past Sunday again, and I said, I don't think this team is good. Yes, Mason Crosby could have made the kicks and they probably would have won. The punt return could have gone the other way and all these other, they still could have won, but that's against a Detroit team that I just personally don't think very highly of. I don't think the Lions are a very good team this year. They were 1-3 coming in. So I think if you force me to pick, I'd say they're closer to being a bad team than a good team. And I just can't believe that that's maybe how quickly it's come to that thought process. Because that shouldn't be the case. But, man, go back and watch the past two games, Buffalo and Washington, this past Sunday with Detroit, the last three games, and tell me that you think that that's a team that's good. It just doesn't look that way, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I appreciate it as always, Paul. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.